We're going to be in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 20. That's 2 Kings, chapter 20. If you didn't bring a Bible and you want one, this rascal guy, Ben, over here has a Bible. We'll give you one. And I think Justin in... Oh, hey, I just wanted to tell you, it's in the... He's going to finish it when he comes out. He's going to finish it when he comes back. So you're welcome to come here and ask the Lord for help. I want you to know that. I was thinking about it again the other night because Justin... an introvert, was willing to share his testimony, tell a story of how he became a Christian with a bunch of guys around the fire. He did such a great job. And, you know, he's there, honestly, Justin, you're just one of those families with beautiful children, you're your cute little wife. And without knowing those things, you're like, man, Justin's like the rest of us, it turns out, because he's, you just wouldn't know that. But the things that we see that are awesome in each other's lives are the work of the Lord, right? And that's, he's here to do that for all of us. So anyways, just always want to lower that bar back where it belongs, where we put Jesus high and we're right at his feet. So anyways, we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 20, and we're looking at a guy, a king named Hezekiah. So I'm going to pray again really quick. You can totally turn pages while I'm praying. It's mostly for me. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And we have come to sit humbly. That was the word used today in the prayer room, humbly before you. We don't come with our lives together. We don't come with our wisdom. But we do want to learn from you. We think that your word is what it says, written by you, breathed by God. And that there's wisdom here for us, instruction that can help us to navigate this life properly. And Lord, you know the ways that we think. We all come in with these ideas that can get us into trouble. And I would ask today, if we can, that we could learn from Hezekiah's life, perhaps one of those errors, and just come back to trusting you as a very kind dad who knows what's best for us. So that's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so some backstory. If you look at chapter 20, verse 1, it'll say, I have both the New American and the NLT in front of me. So if that sounds different from the Bible that you're reading, just real quick on that too, by the way, I realize we throw these things around. There's a bunch of Bible translations, you know, and they're just different ways of trying to render the original languages into English, which is a hard thing to do. The Old Testament is largely written in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek. And so they have to translate that into language we can understand. So these different translations are different attempts to do that. And sometimes reading a couple of translations is actually helpful for me in bringing out the meaning. So I read the New Living Translation, the New American, for what it's worth. Not endorsing, just telling you. Okay, so the very first thing you'll see is in those days, or about that time. Is that what you guys have in your Bible in verse 1? Something like that. Okay, so what does that mean? It's a time reference. This is roughly 701 BC, somewhere right in there. There's some debate about it. And it's probably about the time that the events in chapter 19 are taking place. This guy Hezekiah, if you want to read more about him, he's listed in 2 Chronicles, chapter 29 to 32. He gets a lot of press in that section. And Isaiah 38 and 39, that's 2 Chronicles 29 through 30. Hezekiah is a really, really great king. His dad was a jackwagon named Ahaz, who's such a bad king that he shuts the doors of the temple, sacrifices his own children to demons. When he goes up and copies like pagan altars and brings them back he's just a bad, bad king. So if you think you come from a troubled background, unless your parents were sacrificing their children to demons, you probably have a better upbringing than Hezekiah. I guess I shouldn't mock that, but it really was. It was tough. And Hezekiah probably reigned part with his dad, kind of like a vice president for a while. So he saw all that go down. And by the time we get to Hezekiah, he's making a massive pivot. The kingdom of Israel, and I'm going to define a couple terms here for you. So usually we say Israel, we think of this sort of God's people living in this strip of land, which is roughly about proximate to where the modern state of Israel is. There was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom was comprised of 10 tribes. And really, from the beginning, when the northern kingdom splits off, they're bad. They just worship idols from the start. It's a bad scene. And so by 722 BC, they get deported by the sort of the world power of that time, which was the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were awful, terribly cruel. If you go up and if you want to like really have a depressing day, go read about how the Assyrians were and when they conquered people and tortured. They invented impaling. That's one of the things I'd read, where you stick people on a pole until they die. So not good. That's where Jonah gets sent to their capital city of Nineveh. You can read about their fall in Nahum. They were the world power at that time, and they were conquering all these nations, and they wind up conquering the northern kingdom of Israel and deporting all of those people. And Hezekiah sees that happen. He sees a nation worshiping idols, sees what happens to them, just like God had promised. If you leave me, you're going to leave the land. And that's what happens. And he sees what his dad is doing, and he's like, nope, we're not doing that. And so Hezekiah is this total pivot. full revival under Hezekiah, one of the best kings Judah ever had, the southern kingdom known as Judah. And he reopens the doors of the temple. I think that's just awesome. Like the courage to do differently from what your parents had done and say, no, my dad followed these idols. I'm undoing that. We're going to follow the Lord. I love that about Hezekiah. You know, our background isn't our destiny. We can follow Christ and begin a new, just generational change. And so anyway, that's what's one of my favorite things about Hezekiah. In that revival that he's doing, he's so bold, he sends runners up to the northern kingdom, what's left of the people, to invite them to come back and celebrate the Passover. You know, that event by which God had brought his people out of Egypt. Did you know, during the first temple era, that's the time from Solomon builds the temple until it's torn down, burned to the ground by the Babylonians in 586, Israel only celebrates the Passover. We only have three records. Solomon does it when he builds the temple. And then we have Hezekiah here and right before the fall under Josiah. Crazy that God's people, the main thing he gave them to remember my deliverance, they only remembered it three times. And Hezekiah is one of those guys. So he's inviting people from the northern kingdom. Hey, come back. And it says that they mocked the runners. Man, you'd think the northern kingdom would have got it. How did that idol worship work out for you? Everybody else is gone. And they're like, no, come back to the Lord. And like, they're just laughing at him. But Hezekiah leads Judah in this big rebellion. And he's just a brilliant guy. If you want to go through and read, the guy like builds all this military stuff. He builds up walls. There's a wall, speaking of the trip to Israel, that you can go and see a portion of that was probably built from Hezekiah's day. That's still standing. They have this section they've excavated. And he builds this military stuff. He's got all these storehouses. He's really smart, and his kingdom does really well. And my favorite thing that, again, I feel like I'm in Israel advertisement for you. You can go through what's called Hezekiah's tunnel. And so when he realizes that the Assyrians aren't going to stop at just conquering the northern kingdom, at some point they're coming for him. He does all the strategic stuff, one of which is to find the Gihon spring and build this tunnel where they bring the water that was outside the city so it flows underground into the city. And that tunnel, these guys started these digging at opposite ends. Think about how long ago this is. It's like, where are we at? What, 2020? So it's almost 3,000 years ago. Two digging teams started, and they somehow met in the middle. It's this marvel of engineering in the ancient world. And that tunnel is still there, and you can wade through it. It's so fun. I thought about bringing a picture of my parents who are in the middle of it at one point. Anyway, imagine the best presidential administration you ever had. Hezekiah's killing it. Nation's prospering. They're building up their defenses. They're following the one true God. He's calling people to revival. And then during that time of faithfulness, hear me, during that time of faithfulness, the Assyrians come. So here he is following the Lord, and you think, great, God's going to protect him. And the Assyrians come and surround the other cities with walls in Judah, and then eventually send their stuff, their guys, towards Jerusalem. And it's at that point that we start the events of chapter 20. So at that time, while he's probably surrounded by the Assyrians, chapter 19, Hezekiah became what? Sick. And the NLT says deathly ill. This is a really serious injury. We actually know somehow it's related to a boil. Has anybody ever had a bad boil? I shouldn't make you raise your hands. Yeah, man, I got one right now. I mean, I don't know how that was so bad, but evidently it was known that this was not just a bad day. It wasn't just something he was going to get a little pill for. It could kill him. And so what do you suppose Hezekiah as a righteous man is probably doing? This is reading in, but how do you respond when you feel deathly ill to the Lord? What do you do? Probably pray. Yeah, it's very likely that Hezekiah is bringing this to the Lord and praying maybe along these lines. You can, again, I'm reading in, so I want to be really honest about that, but things he could be praying about, like, Lord, why am I sick? This is the nation we're in. Yeah, it's very likely that Hezekiah is bringing this to the Lord and praying maybe along these lines. You can, again, I'm reading in, so I want to be really honest about that, but things he could be praying about, like, Lord, we should have a child. So he may be thinking about, hey, who's even going to take over if I die? That the nation needs a leader. And this is a bad time for me to be sick. His prayer, the prophet Isaiah, and we know that they had a pretty close relationship. Yeah, this is the Isaiah who wrote the book of Isaiah, comes to visit him. And he gave the king this message. So just imagine, I want you to go back. You're in your hospital bed. You've got this boil. You're surrounded. You're worried about your family. You're worried about the kingdom. You don't understand what God is doing. Lord, please, you know, I need an answer from you, please. And so here comes the man of God to you to tell you God's answer. And here is God's great answer to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord says. set your affairs in order, you're going to die. It's a rough day. Is that the answer that you're looking for from the Lord when you're praying for healing, when you're praying for deliverance for your city, when you're wondering about the future of your family, maybe confused about what God is doing? You're going to die. You will not recover from this illness. So how does Hezekiah respond to this? He says, he turned his face to the wall, I'm in verse 2, and prayed to the Lord. Verse 3, remember, O Lord, how I have always been faithful to you and have served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you. Now, is that untrue? What do you think? Untrue? How so? Say again. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, obviously there's no perfect people. There may have been some times where he was complicit in the actions of Ahaz. That's possible. And again, there are just no perfect people. But in general, would it be true? Could we think this generally, had he been a faithful king? Okay, so maybe he's overstating his case. Maybe there's a little bit of flex on Hezekiah's part. But in general, this is a truthful resume. Does that make sense? Yeah, I think we're right to go, have you always been faithful? I don't think anybody's like that. But on the other hand, you see what he's saying. Now, if you come to someone and you bring up your resume, why do you do that? Let's suppose I go to Costco and I apply to work for Matt Bellingham in the bakery. I don't know. And I apply and Matt goes, no, we're not hiring. This isn't going to happen. I'm like, but Matt.